7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Consciousness Shift. I don't even know what the date is, but I do know it's Thursday at 7 p.m. Nicole and I are here with P.E. Nolan or Tricia Poole, and we've got a song to intro us in. It sort of talks to what's happening now. Let's go with it.
Don't be afraid. Close your eyes. Lay it all down. Don't you cry. Can't you see I?
You know, if there was ever a group of ladies who lunch, who belong to the metaphysical world, it is the crowd that we have tonight. I also have my special guest who gave me that song on with us tonight. Tracy, are you there? Hello?
My name?
Tracy? You said Tracy?
Yeah, she did.
Hello, Tracy. Well, she's on the line, but she isn't. Oh, my God, it's both you guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tracy. I invited Tracy. Tracy's number starts down here with 917. Okay, well, anyway.
Well,
ever there was a crowd of women, of ladies who lunch. It's this crowd. Okay, literally there, but what do you hear?
Perfect.
That was Talking to My Angel by Melissa Etheridge. And you know what? Tracy gave me that song when I got on a plane. She gave me a CD player and gave me the song when I was getting on a plane to go to Denmark to do my first time. And so
wow. It's
a special song. And I thought it really, if you listen to the words to it, it really talked about the moment that we're kind of facing right now. People who are, let's say, awake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know
yep.
we've got Nicole, and we've got I always want to say Tricia, but I'm not sure what to say. But Tricia,
isn't it funny? And there's a weird echo that makes it seem like there's a sole person that's like the wind of all three of us. and so it's like, anyway, I'm like, it's so in the wind door right now.
It's funny because we're doing the show from the same room, and I can't hear her at all when in the speakers where I listen to you. So, like, I'm really enjoying it. But are you hearing an echo? Is it weird? Are you cool?
Who are you talking
yeah.
to?
Oh, nice. Awesome. Tricia. Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Awesome. Cool.
You know, it's so weird, this technology. Like Tricia just said, you know, we always say about these people that are like sitting together, but they're on the phone. But yet, Tricia and I are going to the same place, but we're on the phone talking with the third party somewhere else, even though we're looking at each other. I mean, that's like taking it to a whole other level. So, if you know, it's a little bizarre for us. That's why.
This is like a good
sin.
Am I doing the
blender
right now? This is a good one.
Blowing
the incense out of my
face.
So go on, Gwen.
There's a little bit of an echo for me, but I'm not sure that's carrying over to the what do you call it? I can still hear her, and everything. Good. Everything's good. Hello, ladies. Tonight we were just going to toss it out there. People are talking about, well, this alignment's coming and that alignment's coming, and oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And I've seen a lot of different people ramping up, of course, because Yule is a solstice is on its way. And on the 3rd, there's an interesting alignment over the Giza Plateau that only happens once every new age, which would be 26 to 2700 years. And it's strange because I had a real profound moment this week. It sort of sat me down heavy, and I said, my God, I've actually been working towards this since 1991. You know, actively, consciously, working towards a conscious awareness and awakening for this state. The full, hello, did I lose y'all?
Oh, sorry. I said it, and it's here now. It's, well, I've been like responding, and you had the perfect pauses too, so I thought you could hear me. It's funny. But I'm saying that it's here now. Like, you've been preparing all this time. And, you know, those of us that have jumped on at some point, you know, I definitely didn't know that I was preparing for this, you know, 10 years ago. So it's, and now it's here, you know.
Well, and much like Y2K, I think that solstice will come. I don't think it's going to be as quiet as Y2K was. I think that there will be a noticeable shift for those of us who are aware of it and aligning with it and working to ground that galactic alignment into the planet through the sun. Mm-hmm. I really do think there's going to be that kind of a shift, but I don't think it's, you know, there's so much has been said about, you know, all of the gobbledygook of Armageddon and whatnot, and that's certainly not what we're standing at. What we're standing at is calming down and anchoring the energy to the planet. The Maya are out there this last year talking about it a lot, and they're saying, you know, it's about grounding to the planet. If there'll be a moment of awakening, a crystal nation that folks will feel, and it's about anchoring that moment onwards, and it's going to take, as it has all along, it's going to take work, you know? It's not about, it's not fairy dust.
And I think some of that Armageddon, that I mean, my opinion on speaking of that is, you know, if we still have that mud on our wings, really, you know, like those, like Trisha and I were talking earlier about the bullshit, you know, or like, you know, the mucking up, if we're still carrying that kind of energy, then it definitely, I think, would be a smack in the face to meet this new energy. But apart from that, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, don't do that.
I have to say, playing the song coming in, it's like I've been talking to my angel, and he says that everything's okay. And you know what? I think that's the best advice that we could, as teachers or sharers or whatever, you know, your role is, spirit psychologist, whatever role is in the here and now. It's, you know, everything is okay, including the muck people are carrying.
That's right.
You know, that's part of their journey, and it's part of ours to recognize it and transmute it, you know?
Absolutely. 100% solidarity with everything you just said.
So, Trisha, what do you think? Hello?
I can't hear her.
I can't hear her either.
I think maybe the reason there was an echo is maybe you were hearing her. You're on mute, maybe?
Some muting on.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. It's like my speaker is on.
I can hear her now.
But yeah, me too. And New York City is like doing bells. I'm sure you can hear that too.
Okay. Well, I think, anyway, I'm just sorry. I'm really high, okay? I must confess. I am high. But, you know, that's why they call me a menopausal stoner. And so, I don't know, I've just been trying to reconcile all of that with, like, the reputation I've accumulated for myself. And myself as a character in a story that I've been telling, and anyway, it's weird, and I'm liking it, and I'm comfortable here on the sofa, here at Nicole's house.
Okay. All righty, then.
And that's the moment, you know, isn't it? I think that's kind of part of it. It's recognizing the moment and being present in whatever it is. I mean, that's been my greatest tool lately, because I feel like I can feel it. There's so much going on, and there's so much that I don't understand. Like, I can feel so much more around. So a lot of times that anchoring of just, okay, like, this is what's happening in the present. This is where comfortable on the sofa, just like she said. And, you know, that's what's up.
Well, I have to say that there's been a lot of folks asking questions, discussing it. I've been seeing it throughout social media networks, everywhere from Twitter to Tumblr to Facebook and those outlets. Not too much anywhere else because I've kind of been at the house a lot and haven't gotten much further down the road, but talking with people who, you know, from the community, there's a lot of talking about 12-12. Have you heard about that, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no planetary or astrological lineup or anything that day. It's just mostly, I think, a way for folks to, you know, take advantage of the numerological, you know, 11-11 kind of thing. And
yeah, alignment.
Use it as a de-embarkation point for, you know, more,
alignment.
More whatever. It
mm-hmm.
seems to be about in most of the, it's mostly channeled stuff and a lot of angelic alignment stuff and anchoring personal Christ consciousness. Well, that's what we're doing when we're awakening our complete chakra network in our light body, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the end result. I mean,
yeah.
But the 12 seems to represent the divine love within. I always think of things in terms of 13s myself, but.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
I'm
but you can recognize the 12.
Yeah. But right now, I did think of it this way. I did think that it can be an embarkation moment for, or a point of beginning for, you know, the Maya call it right now where we're at is the journey through or the journey along the Xibalba B road, which is the dark rift in the Milky Way that we're coming to the end of on solstice. And it's a rebirth, you know, and I think what we're going through and what 12-12 might represent is the beginning of, you know, the contraction, if as it were,
mm-hmm.
energetically.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that makes so much sense. Because I do find that lately a lot of past thoughts I haven't thought of, experiences, you know, in my meditation come up, moments that apparently, I never thought of it that way before, but definitely defined who I am, and I had to take a look at it and see whether I really was still in alignment with those decisions that I made. And it really brought up a lot of emotions and also, like, emotions that aren't attached to anything. Those are kind of confusing to me. I know that part of it is realizing that I am an intuitive and I do pick up on other people's things that, you know, will attach themselves to something that I have that's of the same vibration. Okay, I get it now. But, you know, I do realize when it is my stuff and but it's also just like in my physical body or in my whatever body to some extent, and I have to, you know, cleanse that out as well. So along with feeling all this new energy. So it's,
Well, as we were talking before the show, you and I were discussing the nature of having some video hangouts, some, like, workshops in
mm-hmm.
video time online in Google in the Hangouts
mm-hmm.
for free. And one of the things that's happening is the tools that we work with in any measure of sensuality it's not just scent, but it's also all the other different senses and what they trigger, a extra dimensional or multidimensional awareness. And that's what we're working towards and have been working towards. And that's accelerated now. There's no denying that. Homeopathy and flower essences, resonant and vibrational remedies are all rather accelerated right now. And I think it's a good idea to offer people little workshops, little classes on how to work with these. And, I mean, you know, you get so many instructions from the box and the little paper and the box flower remedy, but they don't really to all the many things you can do or the first steps in taking healing actions with them, you know?
Yeah, I really love it. It's a great idea. And in my experience with all your different oils and essences over the years, the different ways that I've used them to heal different points that I was going through and obviously still do, to be able to share that would be great, because I think a lot of times, you know, you have a specific thing and also to learn a little more about different ways of going within, really, you know, and talking to the different parts of yourself.
The journey that you're capable of doing and the enhancement that the different essences can offer you, especially as I always have to be hit over the head. I mean, I create these, and then I'm sitting there. I was doing the solar essences this month, and it occurred to me, well, you dope, you're not working with the mercurial flow, and you should be, because it's been a hellacious one, okay? The last one took back my ass around.
Listen, as a Gemini, I can only say, I mean, the whole Mercury retrograde thing, and I don't mean to sound like airy fairy and stuff, but I am, I guess. And really, when I think about that, I think about y'all were talking earlier, and it was reminding me about how a certain part of myself responds. My body moves and feels better when I hear music that is like Celtic music that would have come from my old ancestors and makes me feel like elves and fairies in the fairy tales that we hear and the archetypal imagery we absorb from the culture. And
excellent. It's true. What you're saying is true.
And I find the smell, and it comes to that book, Jitterbug Perfume.
One of my favorites now.
And how we're moving beyond reptile and mammal and into this elegance that is floral. And just what it talks about that in that book is very sensual and compelling, I think. And that's what the smells like. The other night when I had spritzed and the rain and was just like, oh, my God, I'm, in a sea of tranquility and drifted off to this wonderful sleep. And the oils that you made, the feng shui ones, I was able to give to Richie the painter, who is really cute. And he's just really so cute and, I don't know, I can't describe it, but just, attractive in a way that is just attractive in every way. And I was so happy to say, oh, Gwendolyn made these feng shui oils and you need to put them in the bank. And he's like, oh, he knows about feng shui and he's all into it. And it was really nice to just look at the labels together, and now he's putting them in all the paint that's going in the house wherever it's going.
Wonderful.
And he was just fixing to go into the bedroom, and I'm really having to restrain my impulses to make a extreme pass at Richie because he's like so cute. Because I don't want to be like, you know, Kathleen Turner and Boozy with a bottle of scotch, you know.
She wants to make a pass at the painter, but isn't sure if it's kosher.
That's terrible.
That's great.
the first world problems we have.
You know, I mean, I'm like, okay, this is, yeah, I love this personal problem. I'm so delighted with how, no, I'm just, everything is great, and the apartment is great, and that the moving day is 12-12-12, and everybody's down with that, and it may not be my greatest imagination, but it's like the best we can do in the time we had with the money we got. And it's all good, and I can't wait for Christmas and to put the Christmas tree, huh?
Things are really good. What you bring up is a really great example, though, of why doing a workshop with folks and letting them know how they can work with different essences.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for the, you know, I learned because a gal who's a she's an interior decorator in Connecticut, and she created a restaurant interior for a little gal in New York down in the Village, and she bought my feng shui essences to put in the paint in that restaurant. It's still going. I mean,
nice.
You know, I didn't think of it. She did. So it gets passed along, and that's one way you can work with it. And it's not that you would have to use just feng shui essences to paint with or decorate your home with or refabricate your home with. You could use different seasonal ones from my Wheel of the Year collection, you know. You could also
I use Isis in my walls.
And you could use also the Bach flower remedies, for crying out loud, too. You could buy something that's like rescue remedy and mix it in with the paint for your baby's nursery. You know, there are several applications, and this, what it does too, is it helps to teach people to open their awareness, awake, and focus a resonant quality into a sacred space, which all space should be sacred. That's our new job, you know. It's not just the circle anymore. It's the whole planet. It's the whole house. It's the whole city. I think that's one of the big differences between today and December 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're, this is like, yeah, get it down for you, and you're always going to be working on you, but get you down right now, because the bigger idea is what we're challenged to as solstice comes around. And I think that's the huge part of it that a lot of folks are missing right now, that it's just about, it's going to be about the same stuff. But instead of thinking in terms of, well, I'm going to protect my house and grid my bedroom and that kind of, no, you're going to protect your neighborhood, and you're going to grid your state. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's an expansive, because we're cosmic, we're galactic now. We're not, you know, we ain't church mouses anymore in the universe. We're being given a big old spotlight that is saying, you know, hey, wake them up. There's planet Earth. All these folks down there are getting a clue, and let's take a look, you know?
Wow. That's really great, Gwen. It's the perfect way to put it. You're right. You're right. We're not church mice anymore. It's part of our own growth to be able to anchor in bigger spaces and with more people and really connect with the earth on a more grounded level. And so that's the next evolution. That's great. And I mean, it's funny. Like, I know that, but I haven't started doing that yet. And so, look, now's that. We're gonna have that.
Well, that's just the suggestion, because how are we going to shift our thinking, you know? I've used this example a few times, and I know y'all bored with it, terrible, but I'm going to use it again. You know, we have to act as if. We have to fake it till we make it. I sat in my office for you know, a couple of minutes every day. I think it was about 2 minutes time. And I pretended that I had forgiven somebody for being horrendous when I was a kid, okay?
Mm.
And I did this because it was, you know, it was a part of my challenge in life, you know, to drop some baggage, and this is how it was getting done. But I pretended and I faked it, and, you know, I kept on doing it. And somewhere along the line, after a couple of months, I stopped. But an opportunity arose another month later when somebody walked in, and none of my readers were there, so I had to do that. You know, I'm not generally the reader. I ain't the psychic, you know. Anyway, so mm-hmm. sat the young lady, and I recognized immediately that we had a great deal in common. I heard the words coming out of my mouth, and what I said was a full awareness and a full acceptance and a full heart of what I had been faking in my office for two weeks. So if we can just act as if, or fake it till we make it, and see our grids being not just, you know, go ahead and put that grid down in your bedroom to protect yourself. And, oh, by the way, excuse me, this is my whole neighborhood and, in fact, my whole city. And tomorrow night it's going to be my whole state, and we'll start her up again until we get on a more galactic frontier with that one. We'll get on out to Pluto. And that brings our awareness into a galactic state of mind, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it follow that that would happen? Very simplistic, I know. But doesn't it make some sense?
It makes perfect sense. I'm so thankful for you spitting those words out of your mouth. Because you're right. It is the natural evolution, and you can feel it as soon as you think about it. About even if you think about doing it, you can feel it. You go, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, and for you, you all up there, you have so many around you right now that really require your galactic shamanism to be intact, because they need white light on Staten Island. They need white light in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. They need white light everywhere they can get it. And as far as I can see, this is what's happening on a planetary level. There is somebody being drone bombed. There is another tsunami coming up. There's a gulf that's wading in gray waters, and dolphins that are being shot. There's all kinds of opportunities for us to use galactic presence of mind and heal and transmute that energy. It makes a difference. That's what we're here for. That's what we woke up for, right?
Yep. Well, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think. Well, I keep coming to 420 and Soulfire for the Gulf, because when you try to really align yourself in an exact way with your whole body and the energy that's coming, and it's that chakra alignment thing that I've been working on with healing my shoulder and opening it up. And I like the idea of it being that it's like releasing my wing, and that's what's been up with my shoulder. And so many other people have been having injuries and things, and I don't know. It's just I was thinking about the connection. I'm drifting off again into like this of relaxation, and
well, I'll pick up on that if you want, because I was just talking to a friend of mine that lives in Long Island, and he told me the most amazing stories today about what the situation was over there. And the most interesting point was his sister came with a trailer, and so they had the means to cook. And the whole neighborhood had all this, you know, frozen meat and things that needed to be cooked, but had no way to cook it. So it became this gigantic block party of everyone bringing over their goods for cooking. And he was like, I haven't seen these people in years. Like, the community just boop,
came together.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, no, it's and just, amazing. And it's amazing that New York City, where Wall Street is getting a big old dose of, hey, the community means more than anything else.
Yes. Yes. And can happen instantly. You know, it's like, that situation, that, you know, hardship of having to go through that challenge brought these people together. Why? Because of food. Like, it goes back to civilization and how we started of the cooking of the food. I mean, everybody's hungry. We're all human. We all need the same nourishment and sustenance. So you're like, hey, Ralph, you know, what's going on? And bonding happens. So... yeah.
It's and I think it's an excellent example of that galactic state of mind.
Yeah.
We've been talking for what is it, 3 years now, Nick, about planetary mm-hmm. consciousness. Well, we're getting ready mm-hmm. to cross into new territory. We
yeah.
got planetary consciousness. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's our jobs. We're the bringers of the dawn. We're the spear chuckers. We're the guys with the point blade. We're out in front. So it's about making it now. It's let the folks work on planetary consciousness who have to. We're out there saying, okay, but in the meantime, now we've got galactic mind.
Mm-hmm. And use it.
Well, and also we have interconnected mind because like there's only one of us here. If the spirit is the spirit and it's all connected in all of us, so that all of the stuff like wars and disagreements and class warfare and all this stuff is about separating us instead of uniting us. And when we unite, I don't know. I mean, I think it's sexy to unite, and that's what I'm thinking right now. Is like, but it really is like this make love, not war thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
healing.
Yeah, well,
That's true.
Well, Sheila, my friend that I had drinks with earlier tonight, Sheila was friends with me before I got married, but I went after like my few single years in New York, but I never lived on my own here. I was always with my husband, Buzzkill, you know. And Buzzkill has to be Buzzkill. I can be Trisha or I can be P, you know, and it's okay, but Buzzkill must remain Buzzkill. But, you know, there was a time when I was Mrs. Buzzkill. And I'm individuating from that right now. And she was friends before that. And she's been before I got to be Mrs. Buzzkill. And she's been connected now on the Lower East Side with this collective of artists, the Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space. And it's a squatters museum on C, Avenue C. And it's young artists and, you know, the Wall Street Independent or the Independent Wall Street Journal was in the lobby and the anarchist material, and they're really. I mean, that's how they affiliate in a very pleasant and I don't know. Anyway, it was great. They're having a party on December 8th, and so that was fun. This little artist collective that I discovered, they were all full. Their basement had gotten full of water, and. But the Lower East Side is there, and the artistic community there is thriving. And so it was nice to visit there this afternoon
and find
more artists and activism, the intersection of arts and activism.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of awakening right now. Art is a huge part of it, always is. There's more artists wandering the streets than there is anything else, I think, right now in several cosmopolitan areas.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just waiting, just bursting with, you know, creative energy.
But I do think that it's plausible and workable, and really we need to do it, is that after just retooling our thought patterns, if you will, just like sitting in that office and acting as if, you know, retooling our thought patterns. I did the same thing to get my mind sink away from, I still do it, of course, but, you know, my idea of God that was anchored in that horrible Irish Catholicism, and my understanding and awareness of God as something greater, I just don't like the word God anymore because of it. You know what I mean? And I had to teach myself not to go there to that old God place. You know?
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Totally.
So
I have a question. I'm wondering, when you say about the word God and going to the God place, and what you think about that in terms of language and its impact on very young children, and how what happens with what the adults say about a whole cosmological connection just has an impact on little kids and language. And anyway, that's just an interest of mine now.
I'll tell you, Tricia, I've always, especially with the children of my nephew, I've always been completely honest with him. Whenever he's asked me a question, he had both a very Christian, very sort of born again Christian on his father's side, and his mother, of course, is a Celtic or Avalonian witch. And so I have always come from the more indigenous community. I align God within myself first and come from that place of divine nature. You know, I'm responsible for me. There's nothing outside of me that is responsible for anything. And that's where I come from with it. In the cosmological sense, I am all that is. And I come from that perspective, even with children. And I do tie it up to the idea that there was a big bang of consciousness that began all of this, a grand creator that all of us make up and are part of. Does that explain?
Yeah, it sure does, I think.
Well, I always relate that back to literature and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the level of absurdity and the connection within the absurdity of human behavior over time as presented in the Hitchhiker's Guide. I don't know. I just found it very stimulating and uplifting. And it's one of the books I look to for clarification about the meaning of life. And it always comes to 42. And I just love walking around. You know, I just love it. People look at 11:11 on the clock and think, oh, good, angels are watching over me. And I like to think that at 422.
Well, you know what? Every time I see 1:43, whether it's 1 a.m. and 43 minutes or it's 1 p.m. and 43 minutes, I know my mother's there because that was her.
Well, see, that's cool.
We encode. I think there are grander codes, of course, because numbers are the language of all the, you know, all the physics. Numbers are the music of the spheres. Numbers are the basics of all structure. They're the basics of length.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking, you reminded me of a song. Did you know the song when you were little about, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres?
No. Have you heard that one, Glenn?
No.
Wow.
But Tricia knows lots of little ditties.
Yeah,
well, it's a song I sang when we were kids. We learned it about, this is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and around me rings the music of the spheres.
Wow. Oh,
that's pretty. I don't know that one. Do you know this one? Oh, the mountaineers are hardy steers, and they wear leather breeches. They slap their cocks against the rocks, the hardy sons of bitches.
No, but like the other day I was in class with my old teacher from Bay Street, Betsy. Betsy is connected. Betsy is how I learned about folk song vis-a-vis the Seegers, you know, Pete Seeger.
Yeah. Oh, I love folk song. I love it.
And Betsy teaches from the woman that became Pete Seeger's step-grandma.
Yeah.
And so I forget her first name, but I have her in the book, and it's green, and I don't, it's in storage with my other treasures. But anyhow, she went out into the, when there was first tape recorders, she went out into the Appalachians and up into New Hampshire and recorded folk song for the Smithsonian.
I've actually watched a lot of different videos and such on file in the Library of Congress on that. I really love folk songs. I do, dearly.
Yeah, well, and it's a way to connect in a way that physically resonates when you sing. And
yes.
So, you
it
know,
I ancestors.
And well, I've been one thing I do is comfort little kids. That's what I do when their parents are off doing what they have to do. And to do that, I've been experimenting with the vibration in my chest with certain tones,
uh-huh.
and how that can be calming. And so that's just another way that, you know, your body can connect with another body, and your bodies can communicate on a spiritual level, and you just have to find a way to connect.
Nicole.
And that's calming.
Nicole, mm-hmm. Is Manny's still open in New York?
Manny's?
Yeah.
I don't know Manny's.
Yeah, it's a big music store on Lexington and something.
No, it's still there. And Sam Ash is still down wherever with all the drums.
Okay.
Yeah, I know
well,
Sam Ash.
You can walk in, and used to be a guy there that was very knowledgeable. But Tricia, there's a book you should get. It's not expensive. It's like $30. It's well, that's you know, it's a music book, but
yeah,
it's an
encyclopedia
of folk songs, and it was created by the New York. They know it. They gave it to me. When I was looking for, you know, a good collection of the best of the folk songs globally. And they know it, and it's a wonderful book.
Well, it's just fun to pass those on and even to connect with people who know them in reality. And that's why I really like, you know, Norm Magnuson, that artist that I've been interested in his work. He's up in Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking at his work and the way he painted leaves and things with intentionality and wondering how that could be done with little kids. And so it's been fun to be, you know, just looking at somebody else's work and having that influence what I do in my daily practice.
Well, that's a good idea. But as I was saying, you know, we really do, when you're doing that with children, keep in intention, I would keep intention that everyone who does the kind of work you do as a teacher, you know, can resonate the same, you know, with that kind of resonance, with that kind of heart and mind.
I don't know. It's just like I'm just so delighted to be in my space where I teach. It's such a great school, and I wish all kids could have schools like this. And but it's great to be. I mean, and honestly, I love it that Martin Luther King delivered the Time to Break the Silence speech from the pulpit of a church where I work.
Yeah. Well, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. That's a great thing.
That's like some serious energy has taken place in the building where I work, and to be taking that and putting it in the foundation of the development of a little human, I feel like that's what we do at Riverside Church where I work, and I'm really glad to be part of that tradition.
You should be very proud. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and then, my God, it's such a beautiful space. And when you think about it, I mean, this is like back in the day when the Rockefellers felt guilty about whatever robber baron shit their granddaddy had done, and so they funded the church. And it was such a progressive institution that, you know, our preacher was the model for the preacher in Doonesbury. You don't get any more progressive credential than that, I don't think, as a theologian, anyway. And the funny papers, absolutely. Anyway, I love it. I love it that he was there. I love it that Martin Luther King was there. I love every brick that I step on as I walk through my classroom, and I love my classroom, too. And, I think that's something that I didn't really realize I aspired to, but now that I'm here, I'm really glad I'm here, and to be able to spread that as much as I can about child rearing and the people that I've learned to be with. Raising kids is hard, man, and I think that we found a way to do it in a peaceful, sustainable. Nicole can see because she's like wound up in this circle of kids that I helped raise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's really weird that like we didn't even know each other until last year at 420 for the Soul Fire for the Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like you're in your living room.
Yeah, this whole avenue to these people that are my neighbors. So it's funny, you know, took Trisha uptown to introduce me to my neighbors and who happened to be, like, the next generation, you know. So it's a great avenue. I guess she gave me an avenue.
Well, that's how circles go, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Circle, circle, and a circle, and a circle.
Well, and that's what Zion said the first time that I met him with you some months ago, is that he felt like Nicole and I had been around once or twice before. And
mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was a nice thing to hear. And anyway, sorry, I'm drifting off into connecting with my fairy archetype within and how that's fun to just explore life, just in a connection to nature sort of way, when you're outside and pretending. And but yeah, I think it's important to get outside, and so I've been doing that when I can. But it's anyway, it's just another avenue.
Connecting with nature is really important. One thing I'd really like to bring across in this show, and we're down towards the end of it, guys, is thinking that, understanding that once we step past solstice, it's always going to be planetary consciousness for us, because that's just what is. Now we have to embrace and awaken to galactic consciousness, and there's steps that we can take to do that. I do want to do a couple of promotional things.
Sorry, I had to get water.
I'm going to play a commercial.
Nice.
In the beginning of September, you'll find DaughtersDevices.com fully functional and waiting for you to go on over and make your purchases of any of our oils or our flower essence formulas or misters or powders, potions, and brews, because we've even got teas. That's the ancestor of aromacology over at DaughtersDevices.com. Thank you now for coming by to see us. We appreciate it. Okay. I and one of you guys dropped.
Oh, I think it was Trisha.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's out.
Okay. DustDevices.com does sponsor the show, and so does the I Love Nicole show. Nick, would you give them your call letters there?
Sure. It's ILoveNicoleShow.com and I Love Nicole Show on YouTube. And we do good conversation with real people, little funnies in between instead of commercials, and, you know, talk about all kinds of things. So the new wave of talk shows. Check us out.
Absolutely. I want to thank P.E. Nolan, who writes the wonderful blog, Menopausal Stoners, for being on with us tonight. Thank you, Trisha.
She's in the other room. I realized there definitely was an echo. I don't know how those other people sit in the same room with each other and don't have an echo, but we did. So anyway, I'll let her know.
Bummer dude.
Didn't hear her shout out, but that's all right. She'll get it in a minute.
And so next week we'll be with you on Thursday at 7 p.m. And I'm not sure who our guest is, but we do have somebody coming.
Nice.
I know that. I think it's a fellow who does a video blog on witchcraft from up in your
Ooh.
Part of the world.
Ooh, cool.
His name is Blaze.
Ooh.
So,
fantastic.
We'll be going from there, and I guess that's it.
Yeah.
That's the show for tonight. As I said, I say, and thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Gwen. Always a pleasure. Always.
If Zion shows up, tell him I said howdy.
I sure will. The elusive Zion. It will be on the show eventually. It's just a timing thing. Very funny. You know how some people are like that. Actually, I think I see him walking down the road now. But anyway. I will.
I'm going to do just one more promo, and then we're out of here, boy.
Nice. Good night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Sunday show is brought to you by Roundtree7.com, bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. Surf on over and check us out. Anyways, this has been tonight's show with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry, The Consciousness Shift on Here Be Monsters. And we want to thank P.E. Nolan of Menopausal Stoners for hanging with us tonight. And that's the end of the show. And come on back next week, and we'll see you then.